Okay, so I'm Jackie Labby, and I'm just going to talk for a few minutes about what we might consider to be the more historical approach to translation. And I'm going to be focusing on the cultural ramifications of translation. And I want to start off just by thinking a little bit about how literary translation contributes to the formation of a national culture. So thinking about the way as books are translated from language to language, they actually carry with them certain ideas that are not necessarily themselves translated faithfully along with the words, but that the ideas themselves sometimes undergo change as well. And I'm just for a few minutes going to focus on one key decade among many key periods, but the key decades of the French Revolutionary War and the war with France that followed. So for a few seconds, I'm just going to have a quick look at some of the maps that are contemporary to the period, because they show us the way in which, for instance, Europe as a place, as a geographical space, was undergoing quite a lot of change during this period, partly as a result, really, of invasion and war and the rest of it, but the way in which that then was shaking up the notion of what it meant to have a cultural or a national identity at all. If your cultural boundaries were constantly shifting, if you were moving from country to country in terms of what your country was called, what are you? Who are you? And of course, this does have a lot of resonances for modern culture as well. The Europe that we look at on the map now, for instance, is not at all the same Europe that I looked at on the map when I was studying geography in high school, and that's only in the space of the sort of last 20, 25 years. Something very similar was happening at the end of the 18th century. So just looking, for instance, and thinking about how Europe changed, we can look at something like this map that you have in front of you right now. And it gives you an idea through the colors of the countries that were either, in a way, part of Napoleon's empire or were allied with Napoleon, and the way in which Napoleon was attempting to, in a way, create a Europe in his own image, and what that did then to our understanding of Europe. This is just another view of it, really, but you can see that, you know, there are a variety of countries, for instance, that are actually no longer on this kind of map. They've just become subsumed into this new understanding of what the landmass actually is. And this particular map gives you a sense of how that was happening over the period of time between about the early 1790s into the early 19th century. And finally, although this one is not in color, it gives you a nice textured feel of Napoleon's, as I said, a sphere of power, and how that, in a way, took over, really, what we would consider to be almost all of Europe. So the purpose of showing you this is really just to focus in on this period where things like national borders, things like actual country names, the rest of them, were incredibly fluid. And there are interesting ways in which, during this period, ideas of literary translation were being factored into this reality of cultural and geographical transformation. It brings up the question, really, that we might ask is, what exactly is Europe? Not only in this particular period, but in all periods. What is Europe? How do ideas travel through this space? How is it that, for instance, the passage of a single book undergoes a variety of translations, carries with it certain ideas that become new ideas depending on the new language and the new way in which that language represents the idea itself? So this idea of changing borders, do they equate to changing national ideas? The movement of peoples and the movement ideas are obviously different, and yet they are also allied. As people move, as they take things with them, as they take ideas and understandings with them, the ideas and understandings themselves are undergoing change. And if we just take one step over, what instead of who carries ideas, then we can think again about this idea of literary translation and the way in which the text itself, as it moves from language to language, place to place, is carrying with it ideas about politics, about national identity, about the relationships between, say, men and women, about the relationships between social classes. And if some of those structures or setups are different, for instance, in the new culture, well, what's going to happen to the text that's been translated? Something is going to happen to it so that it now becomes a part of that new culture, rather than simply sort of sticking out as this odd foreign thing that makes no sense within the new culture. And I wanted to give you just a quick example, really, of what we might call literary migrations, so that I've done quite a lot of work on Charlotte Smith, who wrote any number of novels in the 1790s. What's interesting about her is that just about every single one of her novels was very quickly translated into French. And not all of the novels were in and of themselves, amenable to the new political situation in France. Most of her novels, though not all of them, were quite revolutionary, quite radical. Then there were a couple of novels that were very, seemingly very reactionary, very much kind of going back to the side of the royalists, for instance. So the politics of the novels are very varied. And the fact that they were very quickly translated into French in the decade of their publication says something about the way in which those ideas themselves was undergoing a certain amount of change, because there was the regime, for instance, is not necessarily going to want to put out a popular novel that is directly critical of the regime. And what's quite clear, a colleague at Warwick, Kate Asprey, who's done the work on all of these French translations, what she's found is that as these texts are translated into French, the politics within them undergo quite a startling change. So the plot may be moved, but the politics and the issues around the plot, characterizations, statements, etc., those are actually changed, adapted, made into something new. And the ideas that they then also carry are also changed and adapted and migrating across from one place to the next. So Charlotte Smith's novel, The Banished Man, from 1796, The Banished Man as a phrase is an allusion to King Lear. It's a Shakespearean allusion. So in English, it has very much this sense of something that is nationally English, nationally British. By the end of the 18th century, Shakespeare was well established as the national writer. It moves into France. It becomes Le Proscrit, the proscribed one, an outcast, somebody who is shunned, an exile. The idea of banishment is still there, and possibly also cultural ejection, but the Lear reference has disappeared. So something that has, in English, made a very direct reference to something that is very British, culturally British, translates into French into a new word that has the same kind of connotation, but has lost that national connotation. And there's something, I think, quite interesting there in the way the ideas that are connoted and denoted by the title also then undergo a change as well. So I'm not going to say much more because we're sharing this slot, but just to kind of draw it to a close, and I have to go one more slide because I can't remember if I had another one past this or not, so we will just see. No, this is Laura Donna, so this is perfect. So just to kind of pull my section together, translation historically is about linguistic fidelity. It is about making a text, say, from English into France and preserving the words as they were from one language to the next. But it's also really an opportunity to create a vehicle for new culturally specific ideas. So even as you might have linguistic fidelity, you also have an awful lot of idea change as those ideas are carried from one culture to the next. And there's something very interesting about how that suggests that literature itself can be a real agent for translation that operates on a cultural level.